The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Bernie Jamieson there with the 5 o'clock news. The Hard Shoulder, it's Anton in for Kieran. The government is set to sign up to a new major European defence programme. It's a 150 billion euro initiative. It's called the Security Action for Europe, otherwise known as SAFE, and it'll allow member states to jointly procure military equipment. Former member of the European Parliament, Claire Daly, joins me now. Claire, I know that you would be generally unsupportive of increased military spending. In this instance, is it a necessity?
Absolutely not. I mean, we have to see this in the context of the fact that this is a loan. It's not free money. It means Ireland repaying money, interest on top of the capital, not just on any extra military expenditure we might incur, but actually the scheme is set up in a way in which it's backstopped by the EU budget, so we could end up paying for military expenditure in other member states who say they can't afford the amounts. And frankly, at the moment, I think the safety people want in Ireland is food security, energy security, and this is taking funds away from that. It's not a gift, and it's not going to make us safe at all.
Well, whatever about the method of accessing the funds, do you not believe that at this point there is a necessity on EU member states to invest more in their own security and defence, given what we have seen in Crimea, given what we have seen in Ukraine, given the experience that Finland has been having?
Well, what we've seen is that over the past 10 years, EU NATO member states have spent 3.1 trillion euros on defence and military expenditure. And their point has to come, say, when is enough ever enough? I mean, Ukraine spent up to 4% of its GDP on defence before Russia's invasion. It clearly didn't make them safe. And this is just a myth that spending more makes you safe. Actually, it makes you less safe, to be honest. The only solution to conflict, which is enshrined in our constitution and in the UN charter, is for the peaceable resolution of conflict.
Sorry, Claire,
really,
just to understand,
it's just
that, is it your belief that if Ukraine had spent less money on their armaments and defence, they would have done better in repelling the Russian invasion?
What I'm saying is that spending money on defence clearly doesn't make you safe. It's the logic of escalation. The more I spend, the more you spend, the more I spend again. And it ends up only in putting profits in the pockets of the military-industrial complex who seem to have hijacked the European leadership. I mean, when is enough?
But hang on a minute, just in the
Europe
Ukraine
has
case,
never spent
what
enough.
Would they do if they didn't? If they hadn't spent all of that on defence, what would they use to repel the attacking Russians?
There should have been a diplomatic resolution to that conflict.
To a Russian invasion?
As in every conflict, absolutely. The logic of that war came from a NATO provocation. That's very clear. It was admitted to us in the European Parliament by the head of NATO at the time, Stoltenberg, that this was a provocative act, whereas there should have been dialogue and a proper emphasis put behind the agreements that were being negotiated there. We know that 6 weeks into the war, Russia and Ukraine sat down. They negotiated a peace settlement, and it was NATO and their European backers who told them to keep on fighting. But the point is,
but Ukraine brought on their own invasion by seeking.
I didn't say that. What I said was, and what we're discussing, is that spending more money on militarisation doesn't make you safe. And Irish taxpayers now are being asked to spend more money on defence. We should be spending money on defence in relation to paying our Air Corps personnel, for example, as the Chief of Staff highlighted at the Oireachtas Committee earlier this week. We don't need more toys for big boys, and we certainly don't need to be involved in a European programme, in a European Union that's complicit in a genocide in Gaza. I think spending more money on militarisation in that context is an absolute abomination, particularly when we need to spend that money on so many other things.
Okay, well, the reason I was asking you about Ukraine was because you had cited Ukraine as an example of where military expenditure was ineffective. That was the reason that I
was asking. What I'm saying is that this country has suffered tragically from an invasion, and having increased its military expenditure didn't make them any safer. And this is the myth being perpetrated by the European Union.
But I still ask the corollary of that then is, are you saying they would have done better in the face of Russian invasion if they had spent less?
There should have been a diplomatic resolution to that. Yes, Yes, let me absolutely.
Ask, yes,
and in any context,
they would have done better with less in the way of with less capacity to defend themselves militarily. They would have done better.
There wouldn't have been an invasion if there had been a diplomatic resolution, and that's what our constitution and the UN Charter argues for: the peaceable resolution of conflict. That's the only way in which you can. It's not to say that the Ukrainian people have suffered terribly. It's a terrible war which we condemned from the very beginning. But, you know, nice words are not enough. We have to be logical about this. And the logic and the reality of every scenario is spending more money on defence does not make you safer. And that's the myth that's been perpetrated here. The Russians are coming and we have to say, nobody in Ireland is afraid of the Russians coming. What they're afraid of is not having enough food on the table and not being able to heat their homes in the winter. And
well, let me ask you a couple of sort of specific potential threats that we might face. If you take something like the cyber attack on the HSE, that undoubtedly led to people dying because of the difficulty that it caused in our health system. That was a cyber attack. Most analysts would believe that it was a state-supported cyber attack. Is it not wise to invest in cyber counter-terrorism to prevent that
what
kind of thing occurring
again? What we should
be investing
in is better IT systems in our major critical infrastructure, and it's very well known that the system that was in operation in the HSE was something that nearly a teenager could break through in their bedroom.
And do we not
absolutely
invest in defence against attack?
We must have better IT solutions for our systems. That's absolutely. That doesn't mean you sign up to a NATO programme or anything like that. It means, of course, we need better security for our that. But that signing up to an EU programme doesn't give you that. What we're talking about here is signing up to an EU militarisation and arms programme for the acquisition of military hardware. And that's not going to make anybody safe.
We've seen situations where the Finns have had experience of things like fibre optic cables and pipelines being destroyed, ostensibly accidentally by Russian shipping. If the same happens off the coast of Ireland and there is a huge proportion of European internet connectivity and financial transactions that travel through fibre optic cables coming into Ireland, should we not invest in the capacity to defend against that?
I think, first of all, this is private infrastructure. And first of all, we have about six major cables. We often hear bandied around that 98% of the cables are underground as if they're all in Ireland's territory. They're not. It's private infrastructure owned by multinationals. And on a daily basis, the capacity of that is interfered with to about 20. They have a surplus of about 20% that they can carry on that. There's inbuilt overcapacity, if you like, to take account of the daily breakages that occur there from ordinary seafaring activity, from bad weather, from shipping vessels, not any
but way. But we shouldn't defend them against bad actors.
Anything like that. Well, the situation is that there hasn't been. The European Parliament, after the invasion of Ukraine, did a report which said there'd been no evidence of any malign actors cutting underground sea cables. But how would joining a NATO underground programme in any way protect us when the biggest incidents of underground sabotage was the blowing up of Nord Stream 2, which occurred in the middle of NATO waters? So how would that
but it's your belief that we should
there?
Not invest militarily in protecting the cables and communications infrastructure that
they're
comes into Ireland and the EU.
Private infrastructure, let the multinationals who own them in their offshore bank accounts pay for that when it occurs. But already cables are repaired every week, every month they're repaired anyway. It's presented like this is an end of world scenario. It doesn't happen like that. And the layout of the cables in Ireland, if they were all to be severed at the same time, we'd be in the middle of a war situation at that stage.
Why?
So, you know, of course there needs to be. Because logistically, the way they're laid out, to blow them all up at the one time or interfere with them would require a very, very sophisticated operation, which wouldn't be happening accidentally or anything like that. So I think it's important to say it. This is threat inflation. It's to sort of securitize every normal situation. Cables exist. Cables break all the time. And there are mechanisms in place to repair those cables.
But there has been evidence of there has been evidence of sovereign actors damaging cables directly in Finnish waters. Now, if that happens in Irish waters, what do we do?
Why would that happen in Irish waters? And why would it happen anywhere? I go by the report.
Well, why did the Russians stage naval exercises in Irish waters and end up having to interact with our fishing fleets rather than our military? Should we not defend against that?
Well, is that not the logic? Is your answer not in your question? That our fishing fleets engage with them and they decided to go elsewhere.
But you want our fishing fleets to be the defence against the Russian Navy?
There is no defence. There was no threat. We have military activity in those international waters all the time, not just by the Russians, but by NATO actors, by everybody else as well. They're entitled to do that activity.
And our airspace?
Normal maritime travel and so on. We need to improve our air corps. That has been an absolute focus of attention recently because of the poor conditions that our Defence Forces personnel endure and the failure to retain qualified staff because we don't pay them enough as is.
And what would you have them fly?
Sector. What would I have them fly? Well, we do need to upgrade our capacity, of course, but that doesn't mean joining an EU programme or furthering our alliances in Europe. We have already embarked on programmes to improve, if you like, our military hardware. I think it's more than enough. I think there's definitely much more pressing demands facing Irish society at the moment. Again, what you asked at the start was about this programme. The legality of that programme has actually been questioned, but it does mean vast sums of public money being spent on military hardware, which the Irish taxpayer is going to have to pay for what we buy and potentially what other countries buy as well. And I just don't think that's a good deal. I don't think there's any evidence to say how that would in any way make us safer at all.
But you do believe we should invest more in military hardware when it comes to our air corps and airspace?
We need up-to-date naval vessels. We need up-to-date equipment for our Defence Forces personnel, who I would like to think are solely engaged in peacekeeping activity, although the moves to change the triple lock could have that situation being altered. But of course, our personnel need up-to-date
fighter jets.
We have a Defence Forces. I'm not asked, who would we be shooting?
Well, I'm just asking you. You say there should be an investment in our air corps, and I'm asking you what.
We need fighter jets. For what war are we going to be fighting? Who's going to come around the Arctic to attack Ireland?
So, what is it that we're investing in for the air corps?
Where is the threat that from?
I'm asking with what?
Why didn't you ask me? Should we invest more in the air corps? And I said I'm very much in favour of investing in our personnel and making sure they have the best up-to-date equipment to patrol.
And that's the question that I'm asking. What do you want them patrolling our airspace
with? I'm not an expert in the catalogue of different aircraft types at the moment, but they should have access to aircraft which enable them to do what they should be doing, which is protecting our airspace and protecting our coastal community. And for many years, we've highlighted that the naval forces and so on have been severely neglected. And in fairness, that was the same in the Air Corps. They have the answers there themselves. The solution is not to be part of further military alliances with Europe. It brings us no safety, just an extra cost,
Claire,
which is going to be taken from public services.
Claire, thank you very much. That is Claire Daly, former member of the European Parliament. Text saying, Claire Daly is making valid points. Paying into a fund that shares the costs over the whole of the EU needs more examination. Yes, protect our cables, but let those whose cables they are cough up the cost. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 87 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.